PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golf legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. Are you mouthing that?
Yeah, I know.
Did that just happen?
I know the intro.
Oh my goodness. You know what? I switched it up a little bit because I used to say golfing legends, and I knew that triggered a lot of people. So I sort of shortened it up to allow the option of both people to be satisfied. But maybe I'll just mix it up. I'll just keep changing it subtly until someone gets really mad.
It'll probably be me.
Think so? Okay. Yeah. Well,
I've been on board with that intro the whole time.
Anyways, this is, I think, like episode 231. And we're also coming off a week vacation. And by vacation, I mean, I spent a bunch of time with family. And I think everyone has their own version, whether that's good or bad. But either way, joining me today is my good buddy, Chris Much. He's known as Much More on the THP forums. He's the, what should I call you? A forum leader or the forum leader over there?
One of the two, yeah.
He's also a what I'd like to call a granddaddy aficionado, which is a significant event that's going on this week. As we're recording, some dudes are getting their nest cherry popped, which I guess we can get into a little bit later. Either way, welcome back, my buddy. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me, especially during this week. Big one.
Yeah. Well, the funny part of this is it's 11:30 on a Wednesday evening, and thank goodness I don't know what sleep is, because he says the best time for us to record is when they're going to the nest. So here we are, and I love it, because I think it's a representation of what the granddaddy means for a lot of people. There is a massive time commitment, not just to go and be a part of it, but also either following along with it on the forum, or being that person who's been and going and following along, because it just constantly brings back memories. So I guess I have a couple questions as it relates to that. And let's start with the idea of you've been there, you've done it as a competitor, then you came back and watched, and then you went as an assistant captain, and now you've come back and now you're watching again. Does it feel any different?
Every single time has felt different. So going in 21 and then 22, it was like super fresh, because I was we just got done with like our review portion and everything. So I was just totally locked in. And then I was announced as assistant captain during that thread. And so it's been nonstop for me ever since, because we just got done with our review portion. I wasn't part of the team with gear, but I bought the gear. I got the presentation, and I made sure I upgraded my stuff too, because it's all that good. So we just got done with our review portion. So I've been essentially locked in for 3 years now.
I suppose we can offer a little bit of information on the granddaddy for those who aren't familiar with THP. It's an event that's held every year. I believe this is the 11th year running, and yep. I believe it's pretty clearly that, because that's the whole turn it up to 11 storyline this year. But anyways, it's in year 11. It's an event that it goes between THP and Callaway. And basically what it is a bunch of random THPers get selected through contests and go up against Callaway marketing and do arguably helplessly or haplessly attempt to defeat them at golf on a spectacular golf course called the Hideaway. It's been there for quite some time. And the other part of that is they get a whole bag of equipment, and not just like, hey, we're going to give you a bag of equipment. You go to their performance fitting center, ECPC, you get fit for it, and then it's built for you that day to play the next day. So like there is a ton of craziness that exists that is the granddaddy. It's part of why the name really makes a lot of sense. It's the granddaddy of them all. I feel like every year they attempt to outdo themselves, and every year we're left sort of stunned at what has been done. I'll admit I sat there, I think it was yesterday, following through the fitting portion, and you go to do some of your own things, you come back and everything's done. It's like, man, can they really pack that much cool stuff into a short period of time? Shout out to the mascot behind me. But they do. And the guys are floored and they're entertained and they have contests and just a ton of information provided to them, a fitting with the guys who get fit, who fit the Callaway Tour guys. Like, it's just all encompassing chaos for a handful of days. And that's what we're sort of reacting to right now, being that Chris and I have had the opportunity or benefit of going to a couple of them now between the two of us, and yet it keeps evolving. So I'll turn it back to you. If you want to share some additional feedback on the event and the way you see it, that's fine. But I think a sort of steery question for you would be, is there something that surprised you this year that you weren't expecting that happened?
Oh, them getting GC quads on the range at the Hideaway to help dial in their brand new clubs. Like, that's taken away one of our longstanding excuses that we don't know how far these clubs go. They're built brand new. We have to get used to them. They brought freaking GC quads to this range to make sure everybody knew what their numbers were going to be before they even stepped foot on the course.
Do you think they did that to actually help us, or by us, I mean THPers, or do you think they did that to be like, come on, man, you know, it's not going to help?
Yes, both. It was gamesmanship and it was for our benefit. I think it's funny. Absolutely both.
Yeah. I've had the privilege of doing this twice. So I've experienced a new product twice, but maybe my experience is a little bit different because I have seen a lot of new product throughout my tenure on THP in content creation. But, you know, I remember both range sessions the first day out very well, because it's just like, it's never really what can I do with them, it's what can't I do with them. I think I was trying to figure out. And last year, let's just say I'm not the golfer I was the first time I went there. So last year was more like, all right, where's the miss and can we avoid it for a couple rounds while the pressure is on? So, you know, it changed up a little bit. I'm not convinced a GC quad would have saved me either way, or TrackMan or whatever they had out there. But do you think so or not?
I don't think it would have helped. Like, that situation's a whole lot more than what are my numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think what really would help is just tacking on 5 strokes to everyone's handicap who's from THP, because they're going to this crazy course that no one's ever seen before in person, and trying to muscle the way around it, which, you know, I think today was my favorite day because they played Clive, and Clive is such a fun course to experience, especially in photos. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask the very guided question, and maybe it's different because you experience it both as a participant, but also as a sort of onlooker. What course do you like better there, the Clive or the Die?
Clive for both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just see pictures and you know exactly what hole everybody's on.
Sure.
I love the Die. Absolutely loved it. Got smoked in singles on it. But you could show me a picture of being on those holes and I couldn't tell you exactly where they're at. I know, like, maybe what range they're in, but I know exactly where they're at on the Clive just based on a picture. That's how much playing it and being the onlooker, that course sticks with you.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the Clive there is, and this could be a discussion more about golf course design, but I feel like most courses have the inclination to have a couple of really impressive holes and then a bunch of holes that are pretty easy to forget, even though my memory in golf, and maybe I'm different than other people, I suspect I'm not, but my ability to remember a round of golf is much stronger than my ability to remember what we need from the grocery store, if you Absolutely. Know what I mean.
Yep, yep.
For sure. So, you know, that component of it, but I'm looking at the Clive right now, and it is one of those rare golf courses where I think every hole has something that makes it unique enough to stand out. Whether it's a dog leg with water or a dog leg with sand, elevated green that's visually interesting, all the way into those like really scary ones where it's like, you miss, there's water, you miss, oh, I look to my left off the tee, oh look, there's a waterfall. It's like, you know, just getting your mind around where you are And then a couple of holes, you look one direction, there's mountains there. And for some of us, that's not a normal thing.
Yeah.
So is there a hole that is your favorite on the Clive that would surprise people?
So I did the preview show with another staff member, JDAX. I said, everybody knows hole 7 and hole 11 on the Clive, because they're the ones surrounded by water, or the ones with the waterfall behind it. But I love 15. It's the par 3 over the water with the hammocks and the two chairs on the beach in the water to the left.
I was kind of hoping you forget that, because I've actually had that written down. I heard you make that comment, and I was sort of baffled by it, because you know, there are so many crazy golf holes out there. That one surprised me as a standout.
I don't know, it might be just because of one of the pictures I've taken of it has just stuck with me since 2021. I look at it every once in a while just for fun. I've set it as my background before, my screensaver. It just, something about it. I probably also remember it because I felt like I hit the perfect iron shot on it, and it still came up like 20 yards short.
Okay.
And my partner landed on the green, X-Thor. He landed on the green and we tied the hole. I don't know. Something about that hole just visually and mentally just stuck with me.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned 15, because I feel like for some reason, I've always been very entertained by 16. It shouldn't be that scary of a hole, but for some reason, I've always seen someone just lay disaster there. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's, you know, 220, 230 out to the middle, and then a wedge-ish into the green. I don't know why I liked it. Maybe it was the Choco Taco I was eating while playing the hole. I have no idea.
Sure, it was something, dude. Just like I said, I remember a terrible shot on it, but it's still one of my favorite holes.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk more about the Granddaddy as a whole, and you know, how things have progressed over the last couple years. What do you think has more momentum in that event right now? Is it the storied, I'm trying to paint the picture correctly here, because there has been a little bit of turnover in Callaway. We've seen some new names come up, there are still some stalwarts there like Luke and Finley, who've been there for a long time, and then recent risers of THP. What's the word for it? Terrified, I guess might be the right word for it. Maybe a little bit of little KJ there. You know, Austin Tudor, my guy, has really brought some fun to the last couple. I guess my question is, for those who are hoping to be in a future Granddaddy, should it continue, do you think the excitement is more about the people? Do you think it's about the product that you get the opportunity of? Because we've now seen them get fit for products they can't talk about, including, you know, metal woods. It seems like there's not a lot to be said there. Golf balls, it seems like there's not a lot to be said there. What do you think the real appeal is?
I think the appeal initially is the experience. You get these clubs and you get to play at these two just fantastic courses that you'll probably never have a chance to step on again. But for people who've been like me or you, it's absolutely the people, and you learn that the second you walk in the door.
Well, it helps to have you know, the introductory discussions they have on the first day with Callaway, where you go through all the information and, you know, some of the new launch product information, where you can get that knowledge base before you go the next day to hit it. It's not just like, oh, hey, this is the new and shiny, look at it, then hit it. Now it's like, oh, hey, this is what we have coming out, get ready to hit it tomorrow. So you have like at least 12 hours to digest that. And, what did they have this year? Last year was, why am I drawing? Do they have tacos? Yeah, it was tacos. The last year we had pizza. Really good.
Yeah, they had, yeah, tacos this year, pizza last year for us.
Yeah. So, you know, having that ability to digest that a little bit is great. But yes, as soon as you get that done, that just feels like the first chapter really solidified at that point, where you get the product knowledge you need, you hit the product with very competent people to get you in the right direction. And then it's like, all right, now we're going to embrace you as people. You sit down with the guys who made the product. Then you go on a bus trip with the folks who talk about the product. And it's just from that point on, I think people really get a sense of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, for sure. I it's also, you have to understand, like, if you are going to be a part of this, that it is about the people for us, like, that we've been, but we also have this job to do once it's over too. So you have to kind of go in and hope to get to be a part of this, knowing that you have like some duties to fulfill once it's over too, like with all this equipment. They're not just doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, even though it wouldn't surprise me if they did, like, at this point, because it's 11 years old, my God. But we also have a job to help review that gear once it all comes out and everything too.
You know, I think that's part of that reciprocal component of our right as a community to be a part of something this ridiculous is our payback once it's done. And, you know, I think that's more about, it's not necessarily what we owe them at the time, but it does make sure that something returns. You know, they can't have that experience without the payout of us really telling the story of their brand for those who participate. And I think that's also interesting because it makes me want to segue into another part of that is, I mean, Callaway has really engulfed you in their story. A lot of people look at the experiences you've had and really speak highly to what you did as an assistant captain, as well as a competitor in the event. But it also is really showcased by your passion for Callaway products as a whole. I'd love to know, because I think this is something that needs to be said a little bit louder, is how much of the granddaddy really defined your love for Callaway product?
95% of it. I had Callaway products in my bag before, like, I was even part of THP. It was partly because I liked just how they looked. Didn't truly care if they performed super well for me. But since I've been a part of this, I think I've only ever had one club in the last 3 years that wasn't Callaway in my bag. Wow. So far.
And you are in,
I turned over my bag like twice already. So,
okay. You are in a location in the United States where it's not particularly easy to hit new product, is it?
Not at all.
Okay. So, and this is something I'm really interested in because I'm the kind of guy where I have to hit it 20 times to be convinced that it wasn't a fluke that I hit it so well. So, and I'll give you an example. Thai Fusion came out this year with the AI 200, 300 series irons, the Apex. And I mean, they're awesome products. And, you know, my first experience with it was like, dude, I don't know. And it's really fun. But after that round, it just wasn't really, you know, jiving. And then I hit it like two or three more times. And suddenly I was like, oh, okay, I really see what's going on here. So I'm the kind of guy where I need to hit it a bunch of times before I'm just like, I'll have that. You know what I mean? Whereas you blind buy.
I bought Thai Fusion's sight unseen.
Isn't that weird how I use the same product you're buying sight unseen?
You knew what you were doing.
So I want to ask you how much of that is based purely on the confidence the Callaway's coming out with really high-end, effective, quality products to give you the confidence as a consumer to just go willy-nilly buy it.
You want to know exactly why I bought the Thai Fusions?
I really do, yeah.
So back in 21, during that bus ride after the ECPC fitting, I was talking to one of the Callaway guys, and he was talking about these irons that they're working on, and oh my God, how good they're going to be. And I'm like, yeah, cool. They're going to be good. Everything's good, obviously. And then he just, like, you could see the passion that he was talking about them with. I'm like, oh shit, maybe they are going to be this good. And I think he mentioned them like two or three more times during that first trip, and it stuck with me. And I'm like, well, what the hell are these irons? And like, two more cycles came out, and I'm like, well, nothing sounds like that revolutionary. Obviously, Apex is like, I bought the Apex Pros and CBs because I love the Apex series. But I'm like, I don't think these are what he was talking about. And then the TIE Fusions came out and I'm like, this is what I heard about back in 2021 and they came out in 2024. I have to get these damn things.
Mm.
Like it was a conversation all the way from back then. I mean, that's not why I buy Callaway products, because of those conversations, but that was something that stuck with me for 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's a progression of quality, right? Like the interesting thing I thought about Apex this time around is Apex was a standalone as its own product when it first came out. Was it CF-16 or is that second release? That's second release. Yeah. It was a standout on its own. And then suddenly it had like additional components to it. Whereas this time around, it was like, hey, we're bringing the CBs into the Apex lineup and starting there. So it's like, oh man, they must really have something going on with primary Apex. So when that came out with 200, 300, and then this crazy third option, it's just like, all right, these guys are having a little too much fun. But if you're taking that concept and bringing it into your entire family of products, it's like, dude, there's got to be something cool going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously TIE Fusion is just, I'm still very much in the hit it to believe it category. But I love that you have the kind of faith in a company. And I think this is what is really interesting about the granddaddies. It tends to create this kind of emotional commitment to a brand to say like this, I'm pretty confident they're doing this right. And they're doing it the way that will work for me.
Yeah. I after my 21 year, I had the Rogue ST line in my driver and Paradigm came out in 22. And after the granddaddy guys that year were talking about it, I'm like, I'm getting it. I don't care. And I bought the Paradigm X and it was just incredible.
Yeah. I've seen you hit Paradigm X, I think.
You saw me. Yeah. I played
that was Paradigm
X with you. And then this year I got AI Smoke.
Hitting sassy draws. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you taught me how to do that.
So that's another thing I'm curious about, because you're going from a good product to another good product, potentially a better product. And there's actually two components to this that I'd love to talk to you specifically about, because you're the kind of person you're 100% putting your money where your mouth is and your money where the tech is as well. So it's like, there's got to be a reason for it. So let's start with the first thought I had, which is you going from a product you love to a product you will hopefully love better. And here's the connection I'll make for myself. I was obsessed with Paradigm. I thought that was peak driver performance for me at the time. I thought the sound was exceptional. I thought the performance was incredibly strong. It made me think a lot about a couple of their like segments in their lineup where I was just like, this is just different. And it made me a little bit wary to go and hit AI Smoke, because it's just like, how could it possibly measure up? Like this is the product. So I go and hit it, and obviously AI Smoke is the next evolution, and they did really good things to it. But for you, once again, I'm curious, what's it like to go from a product you love to another product in hopes that you'll have that same or higher passion for it
and success? It's trust, really. I have to keep bringing it back that I've discuss these products with these people. Like they are adamant, no matter what you hear or see on social media, like all the people on other places, so-and-so is releasing another driver. Didn't they just release something last year? I mean, yeah, they did, but also I have a trust with Callaway that they're not going to release something unless it's better. Like they've pretty clearly done that with Apex. I know I guess they don't have to have a driver release every year, but I also know that if they're releasing that driver, especially with the Paradigm name this last year, if they're keeping that name, it has to be, I trust that it's going to be better than what they previously had.
Well, the argument is why not carry it over? But my counter argument to that is if you make it 0.5% better, why not? You know, like at what at what do we lose as consumers having extra options to hit against? You know, we don't have to buy it, and we certainly don't have to buy it brand new. It's deciding whether that's what matters. And, you know, I talked a lot about the original paradigm being peak sound for a driver. What if that subtle tweak got it to where you thought the driver was peak sound? You know, what if that, let's say 100, 200 RPMs of difference and the subtle shaping change makes all the difference in the world for someone? Why not have both? I've never understood this discussion and this debate by people saying people release too much. Like, why not?
I don't get it either, but it's the talking point for any company, not just Callaway.
I think you're going to say any troll.
I mean, yes, it is. But they say it about every company too. Callaway's not like being targeted with this.
Okay. So you've got crazy irons in the bag now, which I believe you're quite fond of.
Oh, I love them.
Okay.
Reshafting them, but I love them.
What are you putting in?
Dart Vs.
Dart Vs, good choice. I've heard good things about the guy from that company. You know, not a bad dude.
Not a bad guy at all.
I'll tell you what, man. I've weirdly fell in love with these Project X LS shafts. Like, they are really impolite in a lot of ways, but man, do they ever perform for me.
Are you still hitting steel?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
I don't even know how to discuss that with you.
Actually, let me ask you a question. You've come off injury, which I know it's been a sort of frustrating year for you in 24, missing out on a fair bit of your golf season, which is like what, a month and a half long?
It's like 5 months.
Five-ish. Yeah. Okay. How much, so it was a wrist injury for those who aren't familiar. How much is that decides the kind of product or the kind of shaft you're using?
So I wouldn't say that injury affected me at all. I used to have like tennis/golfer's elbow, like 5 or so years ago, and I made a switch to graphite and it like immediately went away. So okay. I'm never even going to consider steel again.
Interesting. And obviously the misnomer on graphite is you can't get the same quality, performance, flight, spin characteristics that you can with steel, which I would say it's anyone still trying to live under that logic is, you know, not connected in any way to the internet or a simulator, I guess you could say. Do you play any sort of indoor golf?
I did. It messed with my swing to a point where that I came out into my like outside golf season and I was just lost.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it like one of the big boys or was it like some random setup?
All I know is it was E6. I don't know if that's the software or what. Cause I don't know. I don't do a lot of indoor simulator stuff. But I overdid it. And I just, once I started making those mistakes, I like compounded them because I was trying to fix them indoors and you can just hit ball after ball after ball after ball. And it just made it. So once I got outside, I was a disaster.
Really? So does that completely turn you off from?
So the year I did that, the following winter, I think I played indoor sim golf twice. And this year I haven't played it once yet. Even though I don't even know the last time I've played golf outside. Well, so I haven't swung a club in who knows how long.
Wait, how long has it been since you haven't played?
Holy buddy.
Since you have played, geez.
Let me check my gin to see. Cause I really couldn't tell you. It probably hasn't been that long. October 30th. See, it's been a month and 5 days, but it feels like 3 months already. Cause I haven't swung a club at all.
And you know, being from where you're from, it doesn't at least get you curious now that you're seeing all these new advancements in technologies, whether it's simulator software or
it does. If anywhere around here had those advancements in technologies, but it's been the same exact simulator setup, the only place that I can play for the past 8 years.
Mm. How tall are the ceilings in that room?
Tall enough that you don't worry about it.
I think it's time, man. You can't live in Montana and not play throughout the year. I don't know.
I can. Whether it works out for me is another question.
So you guys, do you get a lot of snow there? Is that the
usually
one of the biggest problems?
Last year we had a really down year, but usually we have a bunch of snow.
Okay. So was October 30th like a choice that you made, or is it like when it wasn't feasible to play?
So our posting season ends October 31st and they close the course and put winter pins out there. So I could go play if I wanted to, as long as there's no snow, but I don't ever find a point to that when the pin isn't actually on the green.
Okay.
Like we don't have any snow right now. I could go play if I wanted to, but
well,
it's
that's kind of
degrees and windy.
Yeah. Well, I think the wind is the real problem, because here in Cincinnati, we'll play into the high 30s, but it needs to be a relatively decent non-windy day.
Yeah.
But they don't shut everything down here. I'd tell them to keep their dues if they were going to do that to me. But I think unless there's snow on the ground, there's always an opportunity, which includes this weekend. So, you know, hopefully I'll get out and wish I was playing some of this new Callaway product. But man, I feel like that'd be pretty tough. How do you get by? How do you get through the winter? Post on THP.
I stay on THP a lot.
Yeah.
I try to do outdoorsy like winter sports, but I mean, if there's no snow, you can't even do that. So sometimes it is tough. Like last year was pretty tough.
Okay. So are you a big watcher of golf? I know you watch hockey, so you're a sports guy.
Hockey is what keeps me busy during the winter. I used to watch golf all the time. Not enough to like, I could tell you who won week in and week out, but I used to watch every week, and then LIV happened and I don't remember the last time I've watched golf.
So you're just out. Not even like a lot of people branched out majors. And started watching. Okay. So you watch majors, but a lot of people branch out and started watching like YouTube content creators.
Yeah. I watch YouTube golf.
Purely tour golf. You're just,
yeah. Don't professional have a, golf. I don't hardly watch at all.
Do you think it'll be hard for them to get people like you back?
Well, that indoor golf league seems kind of cool.
Does it? You don't even like playing inside.
I don't, but when the technology is good, I'd be down for it.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll give it a chance, whether it keeps my interest or not. That's the question, but I'll be watching when it starts.
You know, I posted a thought on Twitter the other day. I almost sort of kind of put a bit of effort into being on social media a couple of weeks ago, which felt kind of weird for me. I'm going to keep dabbling in 25, I think. But I was reading all these, like, I'm trying to stay off the For You. That gets a little scary, but the following feedback, a lot of tours are really, really leaning into the amount of money they're paying out when the winners get their checks. And I just don't really understand it. Do you personally care what the purse is for a tour event?
No, I couldn't tell you what it is for any of them.
Do you want to know?
I don't know if I'm the one to ask, but no,
well,
I don't care.
You know, I think you are, because people watch golf regardless if they're interested in it, to the point where they'll overlook that, right? It's more about the people that are trying to generate interest too. So my thought was they're putting this out here and saying, "Oh, look at how much we're paying our winner. You should care too." It's like, but I don't get that money.
Yeah, so, that doesn't mean anything to me.
So why does that matter? I feel like the last couple of years, and LIV certainly didn't do anyone any favors, but it's been so hyper focused on the amount of payouts there are, the amount of money there is going out there. I don't get it. It's really turned me off.
I think the payouts have to do with the players that went to LIV in general. I think that's the only reason they're hyping that up, is hopefully to, this is my opinion from somebody who doesn't watch, is trying to keep people from going to LIV.
So you're telling me that the tours are posting the amount of the purses so the guys who are at LIV can be like, oh, I guess I could, that's okay.
Or to keep their players on the PGA Tour. Oh,
that's
like,
so funny.
I don't give a shit at all.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the flaw, I think. And to me, it's a turnoff. I would say the best shots are the things you want to talk about the most to remind us that there actually is a lot of really high skill still out there. But then they made another decision, which I thought was pretty interesting. They're shrinking the fields, and they're also shrinking the number of tour cards that are available to golfers. Did you know? Did you see that?
I saw a thread on THP about that.
Yeah. I don't know if I started that or I just piggybacked off someone else. We've had this grow the game nonsense. It's filled up our golf courses for the last, 4 years. And then suddenly they're out. We're full enough. Is that the argument now? I feel like the tour is just constantly doing things to separate themselves from our experience as regular golfers.
Not tour golf. And I know I said I don't watch LIV, but you want to know what got like the most views I've ever seen a golf clip get in a long time?
Yeah, I do actually.
Bryson hitting over his house.
I was going to guess that.
Yeah. That's just pure entertainment.
So the problem I have with that, and I've seen this comparison, but you know, I don't expect to compete long form podcasting with a very quick hitter episode of something,
right?
You know, and that's so the one thing I really think is important is a 30 second or 1 minute video is always going to be more accessible or more available or more likely to be watched than that sort of long form hours long broadcast. But my thought is, can we advertise that way or can they advertise that way? Like what Bryson's doing is really cool. They've got hundreds of guys at their disposal to do trick shots. Do you remember? Oh God, I hate doing this because you're not that young, but you're probably too young for this. And it pisses me off. God, this is like my first recorded moment of that. That really sucks. There was,
sorry, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, dude. Plus it was in another country, so it might not have been here.
How about you tell me who it is? And maybe you're not that old.
Well, let's see how long I can suffer here. So there was professional athletes and they were talking about, all right, I'm going to shoot this off the rafters, off the backboard, off the, you know, so they're doing like trick shots against each other and doing just like insane things. And it's a commercial. So obviously it's not real. They're bouncing it off the top of the stadium or whatever. But the long story short is it's their two best players and it's funny. So could they not have like, let's get to a random place where they go find a spot. Do you remember the part in, was it Tin Cup where he hits it off the, knocks the bird off the stand? You know what I'm talking about, from the bar?
I'm going to tell you that I've never seen Tin Cup.
All right. I'm going to hit end record. This episode's over. Anyways, find a spot. So like they have all these really memorable, recognizable tour places, right? Like, could you not take two or three of your guys and do a couple like trick shot things with them? Whether they're like flopping it over a known flower bed or, you know, trying to hit from this tee box to that green that everyone recognizes. Like, think of the amount of places you can hit. Have someone have to kayak out to that island on 17 at Sawgrass to then hit onto the green, kayak over to the green and see how long it takes from like there's so many things they could do that makes entertainment fun and gives people a reason to have a connection to them. And listen, I know golfers look serious, but a lot of them seem to have a pretty good sense of humor, with the exceptions of the guys who are slamming clubs, and we can get into that another week. But my point is, your example is a really good one because it showcases the abilities and entertainment value that comes with incredible golf. But it's not that hard, is it?
No, I mean, I can use a long form example too of a thread that was on the forum this week.
Okay.
It was Bob Does Sports and John Rahm. It was a 40 minute video of them playing golf, but they were trying to eat 60 tacos.
Yeah. And by they, you mean John Rahm exceeded all of them in every aspect.
Oh, John Rahm had 19 tacos. That was
unbelievably funny. An interesting comparison because most of the videos they do would not relate to the tour very well because it's usually alcohol based.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it would be funny to do like each stop they have, like some sort of special food from that area. Your point is great. The examples are endless. What they need to stop talking about is the money and start talking about the talent that they have.
Yeah, I could care less about the money. Show me somebody who's relatable and fun and I'm back in.
You could care less, eh? That's for Morgan, by the way. Man, I have one more thing I want to talk about. And then I'll let you go. We'll get back to seeing what debauchery is going on with Team THV this year at the Granddaddy. We just wrapped up Black Friday, and I'll tell you what, man, I'm starting to get a really long list of golf apparel websites that I have to visit each year, and each year the deals get better and the products get better. Did you have success, or did you successfully avoid this year going through the Black Friday madness?
I gave some options to my wife, but I personally didn't make any big purchases.
Really? That's surprising.
I gave her if I buy everything I want, there's nothing for her to get. So part of me is thinking, oh, I'm helping her out. She gets to give me something. But yeah, dude, like parting ways with money isn't like something I do easily, even there is a deal. Like the deal has
that's
to
be, the problem, right? Black Friday, there's such good deals.
One of the clothing Black Fridays was, spend $250 and you get a free gift. That doesn't help me.
I think Millar does that every year. They usually they usually have two really good sales a year, and then for Black Friday they're like, oh, we don't care, have a speaker.
Yeah, I'm like, I want your clothes, but if it's Black Friday, I'm not gonna buy them.
Oh, that always cracks me up. But then, like, for example, Trav just came out, since sort of on brand for the show, they had a couple of their OTC joggers on sale for half price, and of course I bought them. One of the colors was Portobello, and the other color was like a forest green. I'm pretty excited. I've worn them a lot already.
Trav had a great Black Friday coat that I heavily, heavily hinted to my wife that I wanted. And I'm pretty sure she got it, but I'm not 100%.
The worst part is the FOMO, right? Like I bought a couple pairs of Red Vanley pants last year, and they have like one sale a year, which is Black Friday week. Mm-hmm. And they're expensive. Don't get me wrong, they're expensive pants.
Yeah, those aren't cheap.
But
pieces of clothing.
You know, fortunately for me, Trav did the pre-Black Friday event, which I think a lot of companies did. So I already had a couple pairs of pants coming. So I was like, all right, I'm good. But otherwise, like, I'm gonna FOMO that for a while, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is part of the problem. I'd love to hear what THPers think and whether they had success keeping money or spending their money, because we all look at it differently. But that was the big one for me. I think Trav was a big winner, and probably again this week after I see some of the scripting from the Granddaddies. So,
oh God, I'm fighting my own mental battle right now, trying not to buy something for $100 for Trav right now.
Well, I also need to buy a new fridge and a new, what do you call it, dishwasher. So, you know,
we just had to do that. It hurts.
There you go, man.
That's not fun.
It's the pain. It's the real pain of not going and playing golf in California in December. So, yeah, my guy, that was a little bit of an adventure. I feel like we covered a lot of things, and hopefully everyone enjoyed this sort of jump back to the show. I hate taking weeks off, but I'm once in a while told it's probably a good idea. But I'm really excited to bring some cool content for you throughout the rest of the year. Any final thoughts, Muchie, before we wrap up today?
Well, since it's Wednesday night and singles hasn't happened, what do you think for tomorrow?
I'm saying there's only one way to go about this thing. We have the sports book on THP. You can bet all your Albatross coins. I would spend all of them to not go against my boys and lose than I would to go against them and win. So I'm saying THP all the way. What about you?
Oh, all THP. I bet all 14 matches today. Didn't come out ahead, but I bet all 14, damn it.
I did something a little bit different. I didn't look at who it was. All I did was bet the pluses to see if I could dog. So it really didn't matter. I ended up losing like one or two Albatross coins all told. So it was a really good day of matches and really entertaining to see who saved me and who killed me. And it was also tough because during the matches, a couple of them were up. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. And neither did J-Dax for the first three quarters of his show. So, you know, that was a lot of fun. I think there's one more thing you probably want to address here. An old teammate who has passed on. We'll spend a second or two talking about Matt Dawson, and how the guys are honoring him this week. It's a beautiful thing. They'll have the MVP of the Granddaddy related to the name there. So, you know, just nice to have him as a part of this process moving forward. And I know everyone's thinking real hard about that as we go through.
Yeah, so. I probably wouldn't be able to stay composed on camera if I tried to talk much about
it. No, it's, you know, it's part of the beautiful thing about our community is we are our outreach of people, and you and I feel this a lot being Cincinnati and Montana is so bloody far away, but you know, THP connects everyone, not just people to the industry, but people who share like minds, and you know, things happen in this world, and we all come together and share great stories and wonderful memories, and appreciate the time we have, and I just wanted to give a little love there because and I think we're all feeling it. So Chris, my boy, it's always fun. Thank you for letting me steal an hour of your granddaddy week. I know this is massive each year for you. I know it means a lot. And I think a lot of people would argue you're a big part of this event. So
thanks for having me, man.
Of course.
Appreciate it. Now we're going to be like 40 pages behind though. So.
Well, that's the fun part is I don't get to go to bed. I get to stay up and do that. So if you folks are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Make it count. Please understand, I am currently researching vests that have internal heating systems so that I can continue to golf. So if you're in a place where it doesn't suck giant, you know, don't play golf. Don't be like, I'm going to stay and watch the football. Who cares? Who cares? Go play. And if your buddy's there and he's having a bad day, tell him he's probably better or than he thinks he is, or compliment the one good shot he hits because I know he needs to hear it. We'll be back next week with another show.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.